I think we should bring this meeting to order without objection. Jamie's not here, but he texted me earlier. I swear that guy has got the best luck. He had the opportunity tonight to go on a catamaran that was worth over $1 million into the ocean off of Florida, and he told me I may miss tonight's board meeting. I'm like, you lucky dog.
Right. Wow.
So that's probably why he's not here. He may join us later, who knows? But I'll bring the meeting to order at 1907 p.m. 707 7:07 p.m. Alan, did you get a chance to review the May 13th, 2026 board meeting minutes?
Yes.
Do you have any issue with those? Anything you want
No.
changed?
No.
I don't either. I make the motion that we approve those minutes. Do I hear a second?
I'll second
Alan seconds. I'll poll the board. Alan, how do
it.
you vote?
I'm for.
He votes for. I vote for. The minutes are approved. Moving on to new business. The next two items are just announcements. We have to announce anything we do outside of a board meeting that we vote on. So, in keeping with that, we are announcing that we had to, unfortunately, authorize the attorney to pursue foreclosure for three properties within Bradford Park. So,
Right.
if for anyone who's listening to this or watching this after this board meeting, I implore you, please pay your dues. It gets really expensive and the costs add up really, really fast. And if you ignore it over time, you can lose your home. None of us want to see that happen. So if you're listening to this or watching this after this board meeting, please, please, please pay your dues. All right. The next is the approval of the 2027 budget. About when was that? I have to look.
It was
Joe,
2 weeks
do you remember
ago.
what date that was? I know it was a Friday.
I don't remember the exact date, but I can probably look it up.
It was about 2 weeks
Okay.
ago.
Yeah, just a couple weeks ago. Let me bring up a
Was it
calendar
August
here.
7th at 3:30?
Okay, August 7th at 3:30, we had a meeting. All directors were present, as was Joe, and we approved a budget for 2027. Joe, do you happen to have that budget available?
I do.
All right, I'm going to see if I can quit sharing for the moment. I can figure out how to do that. Share. Oh, come on. Well, give me a second.
I'm gonna try clicking this button.
There we go. Stop share. There we go.
Okay. All right. Can you read it?
Yes,
Okay.
barely.
Okay.
Yeah, I can.
Okay. So when we approve this, there is a net loss that's showing on the budget for next year. However, we went through the finances for this year, and prior to this board meeting, we have collected from delinquent homeowners almost $15,000 more than we expected we would. So that will more than offset this. So what we had agreed on is that even though it's showing a loss, we're actually gaining that money this year than next year. And also, if you look, that there's $6,000 that's going into reserve. That's not an actual expense, although on a financial statement that's the way you have to account for it. As an expense, we're actually paying ourselves. So we're still good. And that's why we approve the budget.
And then should we formally approve it right now?
We already did this. We're just announcing
Oh,
it.
well, open board meeting.
If you want, Alan.
Well, because this is an open board meeting, even though no one's here, and the previous meeting was not an open board meeting. So we're
True.
going to ratify it at an open meeting, the exact
Okay.
same thing.
Alan, do you want to make a motion?
Yeah, I move. Make the motion to get approval.
I second. So, second's been heard. I'll poll the board. Alan, how do you vote?
I'm for it.
I vote for it as well. The budget for next year is approved. Joe, make sure this is available for the annual meeting.
Okay.
Okay. See if I can share now again. All right, so the other part of that is setting the 2027 assessment rate. Current assessment rate is $170 a year. Being that we're collecting everything this year and showing a loss for next year, but it's not an actual loss, I don't see a need to raise the dues. Does anyone else?
Nope, I think
Nope.
it's fine.
I don't either. And I had actually brought that up that we might have to raise the dues, and Jamie about went off on me. So I make a motion that we keep the assessment rate for 2027 at $170. Do I hear a second?
I second it.
Alan seconds. I'll poll the board. Alan, how do you vote?
I'm for it.
I'm for it as well. The assessment rate for next year will remain at 170. That'll help Joe get the all that stuff out for
Yeah.
the annual meeting.
Right.
And the last thing on here, boy, we're blowing through this pretty quick, is dissolution of the association. So we well we've We're talk I've been talking to the association attorney, and I asked him a bunch of questions, and he didn't actually answer me, other than to say just follow Texas property code and follow Texas business code. And it's like, okay, so I don't know if he's going to actually draft anything. I don't know. He didn't really answer those questions. So I'm kind of getting to the point where it's like, look, let's pull the trigger here and see what happens.
Can't we get a checklist or something? Just ask him.
We did. I did. I asked him a bunch of questions. He didn't really answer. He said just
Just follow. Yeah.
yeah, and there's a form, I forget what it is. Jamie knows because he actually did a deep dive into that and read all that stuff. So I'm gonna pick his brain on that deal. But I would really, really, really like if the association attorney would draft something for us that we could have people sign, and that way it's kind of legally bulletproof. And then once we get enough signatures, then we could get rid of this thing. So, but for now, I say we start working on what the direction he gave us already, following the Texas business code and the Texas property code.
I think what may be good to do is we, based upon that, maybe I haven't done a deep dive on it, but maybe Jamie has. We should put our own checklist together of all the things and then pass it by the attorney and say, is there anything wrong with this? At least get him to, because you need to follow something and to say, here it is. So there
Right.
needs to be some form of a checklist.
I do know that one of the things is that you can't hold any property. The HOA can't
Right.
own anything, and we don't.
And there's a
So,
subtle thing about there's no debt, or
right.
however you deal with the debt. Those are the main two things. You don't own property and the debt
Right.
part.
And the other thing is that we do have. And Fielding was the one that did this. We have a license agreement with the city for the signs that say Bradford Park when you first come in to on Bradford Park Drive from High Country on
Right.
either side. He signed a license agreement on behalf of the HOA for that. And when I contacted the city about it, they said about, dissolving the HOA, and it's been a while ago. They said that we would have to take those signs down. And I'm like, okay, because there wouldn't be anyone to maintain them. That's what their point was. But since then, we have found out that we don't own that wall. The homeowners do. And I asked Mr. Brown before we changed attorneys what the story was with that. And he says I'd have to check with the city. They may have been overreaching. So we need to ask Adam if we have to take those signs down if we dissolve. That's one of the things we'll need to ask. It's a minor thing. If we do, we just get take the darn things down. If we don't, then we'll get a release from our license agreement. But one of the two's got to happen. And other than that, it's really just getting the signatures.
How
But
many?
we need 187.
Okay. So it's not 100%, but
Nope.
it's 67%. And that'd be a door-to-door thing.
Well, I think if you put that out there, a bunch of folks are going to be like, yeah, I'll sign this right now. Let me do this real quick. So go down here. See where it says perm docs? And then governing documents. They got to move Zoom out of the way because it's always in the way. There's articles of incorporation. And then if you go down, okay, it's not going to do that for me. It's Article 9. There's Article 8. And Article 8, or sorry, Article 9 literally says 2/3 of its of each class of members. There's only one class of members because the developers long since left Bradford Park. So we need 2/3 of all the owners to pass this. There's 278 owners in Bradford Park. So we need 2/3 of that or 187.
All right. I think if you just send Adam a email and ask for a checklist, he would do that.
Okay.
So theoretically, from your experience, when do you think this is going to happen? Next year?
We could push it for this year, but I think the planning and talking to people and waiting for people to get back to us, my experience is that's a rather slow process. Probably spring of next year would be a good time.
I think the one part that I'm not sure about is if somebody still owes money. I know the lawyer talked about it, but how that gets resolved is that after we turn down everything and they still owe money and then they pay it off, there's nobody going to follow through, like we're doing right now, that if they don't pay, so. If they do pay, what happens? And if they don't pay, what happens? That's a subtle thing, after we say we dissolve. So that's why all the things should be clear, and that may take forever.
Well, as I understood it, and again, I may not have understood it correctly, as I understood it, the way he said, because we asked that question of the attorney, Adam,
Right.
he said that you would take what's currently in the association has, okay, add to it what is owed to the association. And
Right.
then divide that by 278. And then those who owe a balance, whatever their balance is, would get subtracted from what they would have been owed. And if they owe, if what they owe is more than what they would get back, then they get nothing.
Okay.
And so we would just write a lot of checks.
Yeah.
Okay.
But that's after we file the paperwork and we any vendors like Goodwin, make sure that everything's squared away there, anything with insurance, any tax documents that have to be filed, all of that stuff. The one thing that I have been like really, really focused on is making sure that if we do this, we don't lose all of our deed restrictions. Because what you don't want is something that used to have deed restrictions, and then you got rid of the HOA, and now there's no deed restrictions. That's a prescription for, I mean, chaos. You don't want that, because then they can do anything, and it doesn't matter. The goal is to keep the deed restrictions, which according to our declaration, it says that the covenants run with the land. So I would assume that they would just stay there, that getting rid of the association wouldn't impact the deed restrictions. It's just that the responsibility for enforcement of deed restrictions would go from the HOA to the individuals. So if you didn't like what your neighbor was doing and it was against the deed restrictions, then you would have to sue them into compliance.
So, what kind of legal documents are there after we dissolve the association?
There would be something that would be, and again, I'm not 100% on this because I've never done it before, but there would be something that would be filed at Williamson County that would say that the association has dissolved and all monies were dispersed, and that it no longer exists. It's no longer an entity. And in order for something like that to come back, which is the other thing I've been trying to combat, is what I call a zombie HOA. You would have to get everyone to agree to do it again, which would probably not happen. As a matter of fact, I could tell you that you would not get enough people to get it to work. The zombie HOA thing is something that Fielding was afraid of when we first took over. He thought what we were going to do was a scenario like this. We spend all the money, we fire the property management company, and then we all quit. And so you've got an HOA that's broke. It's functionally not doing anything because it is broke. There's no one in charge, and the property management company is gone, so they can't really do anything either. The problem with that is the state of Texas kind of fixed that scenario. And by law, you can have, I think it's a minimum of three homeowners get together and have a meeting. They have to, give notice like we would for an annual meeting. They have to give notice. And then once they gave notice, they could have a meeting. They could literally have it down here in the park. And they could make decisions to restart the HOA, appoint themselves as directors. And since there would be no money, then they could impose a special assessment on every property in Bradford Park to gain money to restart the operations of the HOA. And that's what I mean by zombie HOA. It was dead, and then it comes back to life. And I don't want to go down that route. I want to, when we kill it, I want it to stay dead. You couldn't legally resurrect it. So.
Right. So a lot depends on getting the proper legal, advice or whatever, but.
Right. I think we can do it. I think we've got enough people that are just sick to death. I mean, they don't pay attention to us now, right? A few do, but most people don't give us a second thought. Of course, we've done everything in our power to be as accommodating as possible for the last almost 6 years. But most people, they don't give us a second thought. And, the other thing is that like I'm up for re-election in January, and That's going to be fun to get a quorum. It's going to be a lot of fun. The thing of it is no one generally runs against anyone on the board. There's no one that's butthurt or, against us that, and we're not causing trouble. So everything's running fairly smoothly. So people don't get involved. And my thing has been, and it's been for a while, is not all of us are going to serve forever. At some point, someone else is going to have to step up, but you don't want just anyone to step up. You want someone that's going to, run the thing kind of like we have, where they're not causing trouble. They're trying to make things smooth and easy and keep things going. Do what has to be done, but do it in a way that is not like causing so everyone in the entire subdivision heartburn. And my experience with this HOA has been that, present company excluded, it attracts the worst possible kind of people. They get this power trip where I control everything, and they literally impose their will on the people. And then you see people starting to complain about the HOA, and on social media you'll see it first, then you'll see it at meetings, then you'll see it at the annual meeting. And it depends on what exactly is going on, how that works out. Prior to us taking over, there were two annual meetings where they tried to get rid of the board at the time, or at least one board member, and both times they failed. And I think partly it was because they were not organized, and two, I think there may have been some hinkiness going on with Fielding and his property management company at the time, because it wasn't above board at all. So
Right.
that's my feeling. But my point is that if someone wants to keep the HOA, then they should be willing to serve.
I would agree.
And if you're not willing to serve, then you need to tell us, okay, sign here.
Well, I could see there was a need to get help, and that's why, I volunteered. And I'm involved with two other homeowners associations. They have the same type of problem. It's getting more like that. I don't know, Joe, are you seeing that? I mean, are we the only ones that don't have good support, or how's it going in other organizations?
So it's hard to get good volunteers, and but that's part of my job, is to get enough interest to at least get three people on the board. So
The
but
one
yeah,
the
people
one I'm
usually don't
involved with
care.
in San Jose has a very important thing coming in to get votes, and they're even giving out gift card as a bonus if you turn in your vote. I says,
Pay
wow,
them to vote.
that's kind of interesting. That's how hard up they are for people to turn in their votes.
Pay
Well,
yeah, pay them. Pay them to vote.
something that always works is if we send out an announcement that we're going to raise dues, then we get a bunch of people.
Now you got it.
I always
So
thought it'd be really interesting to take a page out of what's his name? Steven Crowder's playbook, and set up a table over by the mailboxes over here on Bradford Park, and on that table put like a sign on the front that says, "The HOA sucks. Change my mind."
So do we have anything else? That's it.
Well, that's pretty much it. We still got to do executive session. But yeah, I'll do you want to check on I'll tell you what. I've contacted the attorney, and he really hasn't given me much. Alan, do you want to contact the attorney?
Okay, this is regarding
The checklist, what we need to get to dissolve the HOA.
What I may do is, if you have anything of where I should look, I may do a deep dive and try and get something, and I'll send it to everybody and say, here's what it is, and then I could contact the attorney. So send me at least where I should look, or and I may use AI a little bit to get educated. Who knows what?
You're very good with that too.
I'm amazed that it is just remarkable what you can do with it. And I can talk offline, but I've been deep diving into how an inference engine works. And it's purely, they make their decisions purely on tokenizing what is in, and it doesn't matter what language. That they can figure out how to come up with the right conclusions. It's just amazing. I mean, in the last couple of years, they've made big progress. I mean, you can give them something, and just by weighted tokens is how that whole thing works. And it's human being that you're talking to.
I will get with Jamie and ask him about that. Because he did a deep dive at one point, and he was telling me how it worked. So he's got a working knowledge of this. Unfortunately, he's not here tonight. It would be really great if he was.
Well, send me, I don't know, if you hear from him or something, send me whatever it is, and
I'll ping him and say, "Hey man, can you tell us what you when you did that deep dive, where we need to look to get this thing done? Because we're getting to the point where we need to pull the trigger on that." There's one other thing I'd like to bring up, but I'll bring it up in homeowner concerns. So, but yeah, I'll ping him and have him reply to all.
okay.
Okay, Zoom is covering my top bar here, so it makes it hard to go back to the agenda. There we go. Well, shoot. The need
Well,
for two monitors.
we could play warmer or colder. There you go. Go directly click. There you go. We can see it fine. You just can't see it.
Yeah, everything's like blind on my screen here.
Right.
So, okay, so we set the assessment rate. We've talked about dissolution. Does anyone have any concerns? I have one, so I'll let everyone else go first.
I don't have any.
Okay. Well, and this is kind of a plan B if we don't get enough votes to dissolve. Go back here and yeah, I keep having to play with my screen. Sorry about that. Governing documents, declaration, I think it is. Yeah, it's in Article 18. There's a provision in Article 18 that if we don't dissolve, I would like to get this changed. I think it would be a fairly easy change. Article 18, unfortunately, goes on for like 6 pages, and it starts on one subject and ends on another. It should be broken down into two separate articles, but this is what the builder did. But there's a provision in here, I should have looked it up beforehand, that says it's about voting, and to remove a director requires only those who are eligible to vote at the time to be able to vote to get them out of office. And it requires so if everyone didn't, if no one sold their home, it would require one more than half to get rid of a director. Now, you can put in a director with as little as half of a quorum. So let's say quorum's 28. If you had 15, you could get someone in, but it would take up to 140 to get someone out. I think that's kind of nuts. So, what I would like to change is that, and again, this is if we don't dissolve the HOA, because if we dissolve the HOA, this is completely moot. But if we don't dissolve the HOA, then what I would like to change is that provision so that at a special or regular annual meeting that where there is a quorum present, a majority at that meeting could get rid of a director. So it basically would make it so that a director would have to be a whole lot more responsive to the people in order to get, ousted. And as far as I know, the only people that have been ousted were the two that we got rid of in September of 2021. And it's the craziest craziest thing I've ever read in my life. And that's the way we had to do it because that's the way it's written here. So
It's kind of ironic that this other homeowners association in San Jose has things that they're voting on, and this other thing that they're voting on is to get rid of a director if their attendance isn't good. So, you have these directors that are active supposedly, but they don't attend any meetings. So in the voting, it talks about how many meetings they could miss, and if that is, they're no longer a director.
Right. Well, we have that in our bylaws. If you miss three consecutive board meetings, then the board can vote your position vacant. And the board can, the two remaining board members can boot you off the board that way. And we did that with Vincent. Paul and I did that because he missed three consecutive board meetings and we were counting. And July of 2023, I
That
think
sounds about right.
we booted him off of the board.
Right.
I haven't heard from Vincent very much after that either.
He actually sold his house and moved away.
Okay.
I'm trying to find this thing I wanted to show you guys. I'm kind of skimming as I go here.
At the bottom, if the corporation should dissolve for any reason, but that doesn't talk about board members.
No, I think it's this here. Any director elected by the members of the corporation may be removed from the board with or without cause by a majority vote of those members of the corporation who were entitled to vote for the election of such director. And in the event of such removal of a director, a successor shall be elected to serve for the unexpired term of such removed director by a special election to be held by those members of the corporation who were entitled to vote for the election of the director so removed. So that last part where it says that a successor shall be elected, Texas law changed that to where if someone is removed or dies or quits, that the remaining board can appoint someone to the unexpired term. And that's what I did, is I was the only remaining board member. I appointed two members from my team to the board, Molly and Vincent, at that time. And I did so at the with the blessing of Mr. Brown. So that's why. Otherwise, we would not only have had to remove them just with the people who were see where it says we're entitled to vote for the election of such director. You'd have to only go to those people who still own their homes when they were elected and have those people vote in new directors. It's a tall order. So yeah, but the first part of this still stands. And I think it's insane because in most places they have a higher level for removal than election, which again, I don't quite understand why they do that,
Right.
but it's not this. For instance, if you know 10% is a quorum, so that's 28, and so one more than half of that, so half of 28 is 14, one more is 15, you can have 15 homeowners vote someone in on the board. And some places have it where you have to have, like, I don't know, 25% or 35% in order to get someone voted in on the board, or removed from the board rather. Ours is so high, it's just insane. It's one more than half, but it's only of those members who were eligible to vote when they were elected. So what that means is, let's say that Jamie was eligible to vote me in 2024. Okay, Jamie sells his house and someone else buys it. The person who buys the house can't vote for me because he's not Jamie, because Jamie was the one that was eligible to vote for me when I got elected. So that person's vote doesn't count. And so the number of people who sold their homes between the time that the director was elected and the effort to remove them, that number is subtracted from the number needed to remove, which is
Wow.
why when we did it, the number we needed to hit was 128 instead of 140. Yeah, 140.
So they're carrying along the ownership. That's weird.
Yeah, and
I
that's
mean,
what
this
this is.
should be the current homeowners, if nothing else.
Right.
So, like, if we don't get rid of the HOA, this is the my parting thing, is to get rid of this, because in my opinion, this is insane. And also, it doesn't really hurt the HOA. It makes it so that the directors have to be a lot more attentive to the people. Otherwise,
Well,
they
the
can
other
call out
thing is
specials.
that it's probably going to take a long time to figure out, authenticate who all was there when the board member was voted in.
That'd be a nightmare.
That is a nightmare to figure out. I mean, you got to go through every homeowner to see who's the
What we had to do is we had to go to WCAD and find out when someone bought their property or when it
Right.
was transferred. And if it was after the date of the annual meeting where the director was voted onto the board, then those properties could not vote.
Right. What a nightmare.
Yeah, and that's what we had to do. That's
Wow.
literally what we had to do. And I don't want anyone else to have to go through that. If we don't dissolve, this has got to go. And the thing of it is, this makes it easier for the people to keep their directors accountable. Okay.
Right.
Instead of having to hit this massive number and wait 3 years before you can vote someone out. And let's face it, people have a short memory. It's better that if they can ho get a special meeting, which you only need, what is it, 35 people to call a special meeting. And then at that special meeting, just have the same rules as a regular annual meeting, where one more than half of those who are there, and you got to hit quorum. Quorum's 10%. So you could literally remove someone with 15 instead of 140.
Wow.
So yeah, you can tell I've spent way too much time screwing around with these documents. So I'm gonna see if I could go back to our. Where is it? There we go, agenda. So with that, does anyone have anything else?
Nope.
I don't either.
I make a
Going
motion that we
to
close the meeting.
say what?
I make a motion that we adjourn the meeting.
Well, can we go into executive session real quick before we do that?
Yeah,
All
but I
right.
mean, we have to. terminate this is
You
all I'm saying.
don't really adjourn this meeting. You
Right.
just, well, we just make everyone leave that's not on the board.
And since only board members and Joe are here,
We can do that
okay.
pretty quickly. So we can just move to executive session.
Okay,
And then
well,
we'll
to
adjourn the
executive
entire
session,
meeting.
let me stop recording if it's recording.